Welcome to Let's Talk Layoffs podcast with your host Antonio Fregoso and Andy Dieza. Episodes airing bi-weekly will feature guests who are currently laid off or have been impacted by layoffs in the past. Our goal is to create a safe space for conversations around coping with unexpected job loss and the emotions that come with it.
Welcome to the second episode of Let's Talk Layoffs, the podcast where we shine a light on the stories of people that have been laid off. I'm your host, Antonio Fragoso.
I am Andy Dieza.
And today we have our two dear friends, Sarah Wan and DJ Forte, joining us on the podcast. Sarah is an experienced creative marketer who has solved creative problems for brands like L'Oreal, Verizon, and Starbucks, and the White House. Her expertise is in social media marketing and creators, where she's built a career in generating revenue for social first platforms like TikTok, Snapchat, and Tumblr.
DJ is a 3D cinematics animator and UX motion designer with prior experience at iTunes, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify. His most recent work involves spearheading the motion design and development of Spotify's Wrapped 2023.
Give it a warm welcome for Sarah and DJ.
We'll put round of applause in after. So, I mean, springboarding off that intro, just give us a little bit of context to that. Tell us a little bit of kind of how you got there. Start at the beginning, I'd say, whoever wants to start it off.
Our careers, like where we...
Yeah, start in life and then lead us to how you get into these careers.
Yeah, well, I did not think I was going to be a creative marketer at all. I was majored in economics. I thought I was going to be a finance bro. And early on realized, don't really like that industry as much. It's a little stagnant, and found myself at Tumblr, where I started up their creator partnerships program. That was really fun. And then kind of just journeyed my way through the other social media platforms. TikTok was next, where I obviously met you guys. And then, yeah, recently found myself at Snapchat. Andy, we share that as well.
We were there together. What would you say kept you in that field? So tech, would you say it naturally speaks to you, or did you grow into it or out of it, so to speak?
No, that's a good question. It was always a natural thing for me. Loved social media platforms. Zanga was like my jam. That's kind of where I grew my love for it. And I was always that person that would download the latest app just to see what it was like. You know, as soon as I heard about it, I would download something. So I naturally gravitated towards that industry, and it was so young and fresh and new and really exciting. So also great perks.
A little bit. Yep. No complaints.
Right? Like, let's be honest here. And yeah, that's kind of what kept me there.
Okay. DJ?
Oh my gosh. I've had such an eclectic life. My entire life goal was to be a military pilot. And when I was in high school, like, was going to college for aviation. And then at some point I got disenfranchised and it was just like, I don't really want to do this. Maybe I'll just do the Navy or something like that. And taking all the tests. And then right before I was about to leave, I got like a video editing internship at a fashion company. My life went in a completely other direction. And I was passionate about like motion design and animation and trying to wrangle friends to make any sort of like short film. It's just a headache. So I was just making like these little animations in my free time that I could just do by myself. And I got picked up by like iTunes and worked there for a year and doing all their advertising for like new films and stuff like that.
What year would you say this is?
This was like 2017. So I was like doing things for like Baby Driver and La La Land and stuff like that. And then they wanted me to move to LA and I didn't want to do that. So I left that and then got a job at Facebook and just really pursued animation on the side, but at the same time doing more UX there. Then got let go from there during their layoffs. Went to Spotify. They were looking for a UX motion designer also. And sort of just, I kind of just kept going in the UX route just because like I'm passionate about good design in terms of like these apps that we always use and it changes our life, and figured that it would be my way of paying for my hobby, which is 3D animation. So I was sort of like self-funding my little geeky short films through working in tech and stuff like that.
That's the way to go. Like any creative, I think the ability to self-fund is a blessing. So like all creatives out there, listen, like if you can, put your own money, invest in yourself when possible, if possible.
And keep your passion projects, your creativity going. Like, that helps a lot.
Yeah. And it's so, it means so much to me that, like, I was worried that if I pursue it right off the bat, that I would learn to hate animation or something like that, because I was trying to make a living off it rather than just have something that fund it where I can learn it at my own pace and get better naturally without having to worry about, am I paying for rent through this way?
Let it be fun. And then gradually, if it becomes work, then it becomes work. And, and that's just, that's the goal. That's the dream.
That's the dream. Getting paid for what you love.
We're getting, right. Exactly. Kind of fast forward a bit. So collectively, we have Spotify, we have Apple, we have Tumblr, TikTok, Snapchat. I have all of your kind of professional career endeavors ended in layoffs thus far?
Almost all but one. Tumblr I left, but almost every single,
Yeah, all of them actually, I would say. Even like iTunes, they were like, either come to LA or we're going to let you go. I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to move across the country, so.
Wow.
It was kind of forced.
Yeah, sort of forced.
It's an ultimatum.
The last two were just like part of the mass tech apocalypse layoffs. Yeah.
It is crazy.
Well-versed in the tech apocalypse layoffs. I think that's what we should call it. We're going to sign. Okay, well, we have some questions. We're going to jump right in now. So you have both been laid off. I guess now that we've established that it's happened in every job except one, tell us a little bit about that, just what that feels like.
Yeah, so I was first laid off in 2020 during the pandemic. I was working at a small startup company, and they just had, you know, it was small, it was growing. They were agile. So they restructured and laid off the whole branded content team. And I felt at that time, that was the first time I'd been laid off. So it was a big deal, but everyone and the world was burning. You know, everyone else was going through it. There was a lot of stuff that was going on. So we were all kind of going through the motions at that time. And I joined another company, decided to leave because I had an opportunity at TikTok. So after I got laid off at TikTok, I still felt okay. I was like, you know what? I think I'd been there for a little over 2 years. I felt like I'll take this as a message. Maybe I'm supposed to go somewhere else. Everything happens for a reason mentality.
That's important. That's the self-speak is a real thing. And I mean, we've all been laid off here, along with the millions of people out there, that what you tell yourself is such a big part of the battle.
Yeah, that inner narrative and your inner monologue is so strong. And yeah, I was just like, without skipping a beat, I found a contract gig at Snap and I just rolled into it. Next month, had a gig, pocketed my severance. I was on a roll. I really liked working at Snap. The people there were so sweet. It was kind of like a healing experience for me. I felt like maybe I could transition to full time. I eventually did 6 months later. And I found myself planting roots already. And I love my team. I love my manager. I love my coworkers. I was going into the office 4 days a week. So it was like literally pre-pandemic days type of nostalgia. And yeah, I had my stride back. I had like a whole plan ready. And then after 2 months of full time, was laid off again.
Okay. Wow. And I know this and it's still like, damn. Yeah. So at TikTok for 2 years, that layoff happens. Within a month, you say you were at Snap. You're at Snap for 6 months as contract. You get full-time, you're full-time for 2 months. And then the mass layoffs again. I was a part of that as well. I think it's something of to the tune of 600 employees company-wide. Where does that leave you?
I was gutted. It was tough. This one, you think that, oh, I've been laid off once, twice. It's what's the big difference? I'm going to be fine. But each one is like a unique breakup that you're having with a company and the people and everything. And this one was just more emotional, I think. I think I thought, okay, all of this happened for a reason, so I'd be here. And now what? I thought that this was going to be my break. And something that Deej and I talk a lot about is being in that pandemic cycle of like a lot of people got laid off in 2020. A lot of people were last ones in, first ones out. And I feel like in the past 4 years, I've just been running on a treadmill while some of my other peers, my friends, my colleagues, they've stayed at their companies. They've climbed the corporate ladder. They've gotten the promotions, the raises, you know, they, like I see this vertical momentum for them. And for me, I just feel like, oh, like the past 4 years, what have I been doing? I just feel like I've been ping-ponging and just trying to survive.
That's a real emotion.
Yeah, it doesn't get easy. Like, honestly, like the feeling, as you were saying, it's, you feel like, oh, I've been laid off. I'm ready and everything. And it's like, again, like it's so tough.
To just corral your, and then do the inner monologue again. And like it's such a process.
I just stopped giving myself pep talks. Yeah. And we're back to the pep talks. That, I mean, I don't think there's a better way to say that. Yeah. Deej, tell us a little bit. So you work up. Apple gives you a bit of an ultimatum of move or don't move.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't really want to do that.
That was okay back then because I had just been working like 20-hour days. Like there was like no end in sight. So by the time they were like, you're going to move here or not, I was like, honestly, I don't want to work these hours anymore. And so I was okay with that. And sure, and when Facebook came along, it was actually pretty quick. It was like maybe 2 or 3 months later. I think I was laid off in February. And then by May, yeah, I got the offer with Facebook. So that was great. And that sort of gave me the wrong perception of like how easy it is to find a job.
Good, bad problem.
Yeah, like when Facebook let me go, even though I was there for 4 years and I was sort of ready to move on and I wanted to pursue UX more, the job I had at Facebook was sort of like half and half. It was like half marketing, half UX. I wanted to pursue UX full time. So after that, I was like, oh, cool. All right. Well, this is a shock, but at least they're giving me like 6 months severance and I'll get to like take a bunch of UX stuff and learn how to get my certificates and stuff like that and do things more professionally. But it took me a year to find a new role just because everything I did at Facebook didn't really apply. Like new jobs only really care about how many things you release, and where I was at Facebook, we're more like an R&D team.
It was internal.
Yeah, it was all internal stuff. So, but I would say it was harder to find a job back then. I was still being picky. There were still jobs out there. It was just like, I wanted to pursue going up. I didn't want to work for a startup or something like that. But when Spotify let me go, like I had worked on Wrapped 20 hours a day, probably more sometimes for 3 months straight. Like it was like nonstop from June to September. And 5 days after it releases, they let us all go. And it was a lot of the Wrapped team too.
Let's pause on that for a second. So you work up until their biggest, essentially their biggest campaign event of the year, the most, probably where they gain their most advertising dollars leading up to the year, end of the year. 5 days after that launches, they let you all go. Most of that team.
Yeah, like two lead product designers, me as the head of motion design, a couple engineers.
Again, this, it happens, right? So this isn't a knock. They're not doing anything out of the ordinary, unfortunately, but it's still terrible. It's still a terrible thing to happen. Like, let's not normalize that.
It also is like, you had to live through the whole campaign because it was everywhere. It was not something that was like, you can isolate yourself and say, okay, this happened, I'm going to process it. It's everywhere. It was everywhere on the news, everywhere, like Times Square, anywhere. So
everyone's sharing that, the artists, fans, everyone's, and you're seeing your work essentially, and then 5 days,
It's not even a full week later. So that was heart crushing. Yeah, like I always felt like with tech, like I never felt safe in general at this point. Like I was even telling my parents, like during like Thanksgiving break when we visited them, I was like, oh, like I don't want to get too comfortable because I feel like this could end at any moment. But I thought that moment would be like maybe like a year from now. I was like, we just made Wrapped. It's not going to happen right now. Like I can at least breathe for the holidays. And they laid us off like 2 weeks before Christmas. And no one's hiring then or even has any jobs available. So like I was just...
Calendars are shut down at that time, yeah.
Yeah, no one's working. So I was just like, oh my God. And everyone's advice was just like, just enjoy the holidays and see what happens in the new year.
Home for the holidays,
home for the
right?
Holidays.
No, but that's like actually a really good point that you mentioned because sometimes you get that fear to share it with your loved ones, like with your parents, with your significant other, like friends and everything. Like you feel kind of like a shame. So it feels like you cannot really rely on that support system to like get over with. Which, speaking of that, like what was your support system for you both? Like, I mean, you guys being constantly, I know each other, but how do you rely on that support system and to like get over with? Because that's really what matters in the
I think each other, because she got let go maybe much longer after me.
3 months after.
Oh, was that much longer? I thought it was maybe like, oh yeah, you're right. Okay. So now that we're both unemployed, like we're each other's like football team, like we're just supporting each other. And
yeah, tell us about that, please.
Honestly, this has been pretty good for us, like for our relationship, like just like, it feels like COVID without all the death. Like, like it's stressful trying to find a job, but at the same time, like we're hanging out all the time together and like we're cooking dinner together and doing like a little museum dates.
Just trying to enjoy it.
Yeah, especially as we plan to have kids in the next couple of years. We're just like, wow, this is like freedom. It's stressful because we got to find something to pay the rent. But for us, we know it's just like, it's just so lovely to spend time together.
And we've both been laid off on and off. We've always passed the baton. That was kind of our running joke. Like when he got laid off, literally the same day I started full time at Snap. So I was like, I got you with the benefits. Like we were always playing tag with getting laid off and finding a job. So
yeah, like when I got a job at Facebook, you had just gotten laid off from some other job.
Yeah.
So we're always ping ponging. Like we never really had
both of us be unemployed together.
And what's come from that is a kind of a stronger bond. You're already married. Clearly, there's a bond. Tell us more about that. Dinners together and time spent. Is there a shift of priorities almost that happens because you guys have each other, or is it or not?
I don't know. I think we understand what we're both going through. So sometimes we'll be in bed. Sounds crazy, but we'll be in bed like about to go to sleep, and then we'll be, you know, doom scrolling on LinkedIn. We'll be like, oh my God, this is the job. I need to apply for it like right now. We'll just hop out of bed. Or we're in the middle of a conversation. And we're like, oh my God, I'm really sorry, but like I need to go apply to this job right now. Or like I need to send an email. Or so we're kind of like constantly in the back of our brains, always thinking about finding jobs and like really stressed out and thinking about those things. But I think in the past month or so, we've really decided to just focus on being happier and just not letting the panic settle in and just enjoy the time that we have. A part of the support system that we have is also like my parent, like I love my dad. I have a really close relationship with him. And whenever I call him, he used to work at IBM for 30 years. So he sometimes has like some tech, old tech stories.
And he lost his job too, which is actually really interesting.
Yeah, at IBM after so long. And so he kind of is kind of the perspective, the older person in the room whenever I call him and I'm like, I got laid off again. He'll be like, it's okay. You're young. You'll bounce back. You guys are talented. Like, it's going to be fine. So he gives a lot of that kind of like, you're fine.
That reassurance, that wisdom. Yeah. Right.
Which is needed. And I mean, you mentioned about like the stress that you feel, like the doom scrolling. It's like, oh, I need to apply and everything. It's in reality, there's like a million feelings that you feel at that moment. Like you get the initial shock, which it never gets easier. Yeah. But like after that, you go through like a range of emotions.
It's like grief almost.
Yeah.
The stages.
That initial email that you get when you're like, there's the organizational structuring changes and like the night before you go to bed and you're like, cool, like I still have a job and like I have all this shit to do. And like you wake up in the morning and all of it just ends. And at first you're just like, this is not true. Like this is just like, I wouldn't even say it's like a dream. It's just sort of just like in the five stages of grief, or just like in denial at the very first part of it.
That's that shock, denial. It's literally the, so tell us just a little more about that. Like you, and just to be clear, there's a difference between being laid off, as we all know, and being fired. Right? One implies that you've done something wrong or your skill set isn't to par. The other says you've maybe done nothing at all wrong. You're great at what you do, actually. And still, here you are. Tell us a little bit, either one of you, about that, the feeling of shock, overcoming that, and what that process is like a little bit.
Well, for me, like I was just so angry because like it was not even a week after wraps and I dedicated my entire life of a summer. Like I missed out on so many birthdays and baby showers and stuff like that. And I thought I was doing something important for the company. And I sacrificed my life and my time on something so influential for the company. And then less than a week later, they let us go. And I felt like if you work on the most important thing for that company and they still let you go, then no one is going to be safe and nothing you do is important for the company. Like no matter how hard you work, you're always going to be a target. And it doesn't really matter unless it's like some sort of like corporate politics things that keep you there, I guess. So it just made me feel awful that you can work for your dream company and do something so influential, and then the people who are in charge don't even care that you did it.
Almost a universal truth at this point. Swan, give us.
Yeah, I mean, I think to piggyback on that, it's just this sense of like, I can't believe this is happening again, and this is the climate, and I always had a strategy. Like, I always, that's just how my brain works. If I'm in panic mode or I'm in shock, I make a plan.
It's what makes you a great strategist, by the way. Just, you know, just throwing that out there.
And when the Snap One happened, I was like, I don't know what the plan is. Like, I don't know what the strategy is. Like, this whole time I've just been trying to figure out, okay, well, when I go to Snap, I'm going to be doing this for the next like 1 to 3 years. And I thought everything happened for a reason. And it was just really tough. It was like, I don't know what I learned from this. I think that was the hardest thing. I was like, what did I learn? Why did this happen to me? What's the message? What is the universe trying to tell me? And it's kind of grim, but it doesn't matter. Like, you're just a part of the economy right now. And you're just a minute part of what's going on in the industry. And it's unfortunately
hard to, you don't want to dumb it down. You don't want to oversimplify, but you can't take it personal.
You can.
It's a very personal thing, but you can't take it personal. Okay, let's lift up the spirits a little bit. Okay, so one of the bases of this is the idea of fun employment. So just curious how you both have been using this time. One, period, how have you been using this time? But two, new skills, hobbies, professional, personal. Like, what are you doing to stay creative, stay in the right state of mind?
Or projects that you're still like, you know what, we're going to pursue this from now on. And it's like,
yeah, like this podcast.
Like this podcast.
Basically.
Something that me and my friend Jess, who I met from Tumblr, we both started taking in this course for wines. It's called WSET 2. Took the course, passed, and just sprung into that being the hobby. And right now we're focusing on like the pairing between traditional wines and Asian cuisines and what that looks like. So we're throwing like a series of intimate dinner parties, and we want to start kind of teasing out what that area looks like for us. So more things to come.
Wait for those invites. Yes.
Wine is always the answer.
Yes, always.
Don't cry, but you can whine. Deej, what have you been up to?
For me, like, I've always struggled to find time to animate for myself. And as a 3D artist, I always struggled with an art style. I never really understood if I should be animating like zombies or like memes or like, I don't know, like combat stuff. I don't know. I'm like a super nerd. But when Spotify let me go, I was like, well, I'm really passionate about Star Wars. But the thing about Star Wars is that when you tell people you animate Star Wars, they either like roll their eyes and cringe, or they think that you're going to be doing like lightsaber twirls and like stormtrooper stuff like that. And that's not where my head is at with that. Like, I'm obsessed with like the average day person in Star Wars, like the people who are like cargo ship pilots or fishermen or the dude who works at a coffee shop, or even just like the random bomber pilot, like just people like that the franchise doesn't focus on. So when Spotify let me go, I was like, well, I want to make like little 15-second slice of life animations of these people in this universe. So I like 3D scan my friends and have them be my digital actors in my shorts. And yeah, just like living in my imagination. And it's at a point now where like I'm trying to do one every 2 weeks. And now I fear almost getting a job because I want to just like finish what's in my head. Like, I just have so many plot points I want to get across. And yeah, it's just like so fun, like animating this thing that, you know, even though it's someone else's IP, I have a perspective on it, and that my perspective means a lot to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, and putting that perspective out into the world means a lot to the world. I think that's a big part of it.
Appreciate that.
Now, like pointing at that, like those projects sound amazing, but obviously we need to like get back to work. Yeah. You say, we need to pay the rent, right? No, it's like, aside from doing this, Sarah, you mentioned that you like doing this wine pairing with your friend, DJ, with your friends being like your actors mm-hmm. for this project. But have you guys reached out to your professional network, or again, personal network too? How has that been helpful in terms of like pursuing this passion project or finding a job? Because
Yeah, I will say that there are a lot of marketers out there that are willing to help. Like, I think the marketing community knows that it's a tough time out there. And I've been connected, lucky enough to be connected to a couple of different marketing groups where they're very energetic. These are people that I don't even know. I'm still having conversations that lead me to this like breadcrumb process where every week I'm talking to someone completely new, completely different, just to see what they're up to, what's going on. So that's been really valuable for me. I think marketers understand it's a networking game. So yeah, I've been leaning a lot on newer connections, but I also need to do the due diligence of going back and talking to my older professional network of people that I used to work with at these companies. So that's the next stage.
A little conversation. All you need is one. Yes.
All you need is one. Yeah.
And before I let you go, DJ, like, it is surprising about that. Like people really actually want to help you.
Absolutely.
We think that like being labeled as laid off, it's something that's like out of shame. But I think like the four of us have experienced as like, people are actually like, no, let me help you. However we can, we help you. And like, as you say, so just getting one yes, it's life changing.
Yeah, I think the current state too, like when I first got let go from Facebook, I definitely felt that shame. But after Spotify, just have with the tech Mageddon layoffs that keep happening, like I think a lot more people understand now this is not shameful. Like it's the macro environment. A lot of good people lost their jobs who were really good at what they did, and it has nothing to do with performance. You're just like a number on a spreadsheet, and I want to help you find your next thing.
So tell us about your network.
Mine has been interesting. Like definitely, like so thankful for friends and former colleagues reaching out, showing me like the rare niche job posting that I do. But, you know, there's just so many people let go, laid off. I mean, that within an hour, those positions have like 100 applicants. And so it's just been interesting trying to like wade through that. But so thankful for everyone that passed me things. And a few homies that I worked with at Facebook have moved on to their own things because they got let go. And you mentioned earlier about like, once you have a passion, you can't like go backwards and stuff like that. They formed like production companies, and I've been fortunate enough where like they reached out and be like, hey, you know, this thing is available for you if you're interested, and it's more towards like the feature film stuff. And yeah, we'll see where that goes. I kind of want to stay in UX, but I would say my 3D is getting to a point where people are like, this would be great if you were on my team and you would help me do this for this project. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll consider.
Maybe you'll consider it. That's a nice place to be.
Because again, like it's like my hobby, and like I didn't even know it could be my job. And it's also so precious to me that I was so passionate about having my day job fund my hobby that I wasn't sure if my hobby should be my main job. So it's out of fear of like, will this affect me wanting to do this in my free time? So I totally get that it's like a privileged and. But I still need to pay rent. So at some point I have to make a decision like, hey, like, you know, like, are you going to pursue this or not?
Would you say the silver lining of a layoff for you has been the time allocated to your 3D work now, so much so now that it's potentially becoming a career path for you?
For sure. And you mentioned earlier about not taking it personal, like just focusing on my hobby has made it not personal for me, because it's like, wow, like how can I hate being let go when it let me have you know, some free time to focus on trying to get better at my craft. And it sounds corny, but like literally everything happens for a reason. And every single time I got let go, something happened for a reason. And I wouldn't have worked on Wrapped if I had got let go from Facebook. So
my mom always says, it gets greater later. It is a quote from the great Sonia Layson. But yeah, I think that's really indicative of what can happen if you kind of stay true to you, horse blinders a bit, and stay positive too. I think that's a big part of it. A wise woman once told me, who wasn't my mother, once told me positivity is a choice, right? And I think for creatives, no matter what it is we do, we use so much of our brain power on just thinking, right? Whether you could call it concepting or call it brainstorming, yeah. It's just we use it so much. And so making sure that we're using it in a positive way and staying with a positive lens, looking through a positive lens, I think you'll be surprised what can happen.
No, like that's taken of that. Like you have all these ideas, you have these thoughts, and it's easy to go into a dark path. Like it is very easy to fall into depression, which I'm pretty sure a lot of people that have been laid off have are experiencing right now. But when you feel it into something creative positively, you end up like your passion project of pairing wines with Asian cuisine and like cinematics, 3D cinematics that could potentially be like a second career, or like you could actually be like a book or like a channel on social media platforms. Like, so it is, I think, like really important for people to like understand that. Like, there's like, it sucks, it hurts, but if you put it the time for your passions possibly, you can get like really positive outcomes out of that.
That's a great rap statement. Thank you both so, so much for being here. Thank you for sharing. It is important. We hope that you get new jobs soon. But if you don't, we hope that you have all the best wine pairings and motion graphics design that you can have.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, no, this was great. Again, thank you so much for this. For the audience, we're going to feature DJ's Reel and Swan's wine pairing channel, so you guys can check it out.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. You're the best.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Let's Talk Layoffs podcast. Please leave us a rating and review on whichever podcast provider you're listening from, so we can continue to provide a platform for those impacted by layoffs. For more information and resources, please visit www.letstalklayoffs.com.